Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleagues, Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, Joseph Umar, executive director of Secure Free Society, and a report in the Financial Times, the London paper, How Fentanyl Changed the Game for Mexico's Drug Cartels. Subhead, in less than a decade, traffickers have created a highly profitable business to feed U.S. demand for the synthetic opioid. Joseph, I come to you because this isn't my understanding of the drug that has attacked the U.S. over these last decades, cocaine from the coca plant, commanded by Bolivia, by Peru, by Colombia. This is a chemically induced damage to the brain by precursors that are said to have been created in China and shipped to Mexico and maybe other parts of North America in order to reach something called a fentanyl lab or a fentanyl kitchen, where it's then translated into the drug that's sold to North America and other parts of South America. Why is Mexico suddenly in the news about this? Is Mexico seen as not involving itself in policing fentanyl? Is it satisfied with cocaine?
So, John, a quick history real quick on how fentanyl arrived in Mexico and then how it became transported into the United States. Before the Mexican cartels got involved, fentanyl was arriving through the postal mail from China. These precursor chemical labs in China were sending fentanyl as opioids into the United States. The DEA cracked down on that postal mail scheme around the mid-2000s, and basically the balloon effect took effect. The illicit activities, the Chinese mafia actors that were involved in this activity, they then began to use Mexico as a shipping lane to be able to get the fentanyl into the United States. This was always coming from China from the beginning. The Mexican cartels in the beginning didn't really know how this business. This is a new business. As you mentioned, they're very much in the cocaine business. That's the prominent drug that they're making most of their money from. But they learn very quickly, and they learn through these chemical labs that were being created inside Mexico, where they would bring the precursor chemicals from China, and then they would actually pill press the precursor chemicals into a substance that would allow them to put them into pill form that allows them the easier shipping across the border. Now, in the beginning, the potency of the fentanyl pills that were coming into the border were way higher than they were when they were coming in the postal mail. So that actually was leading to a lot of these deaths that were happening. And you could argue and you could debate whether they're happening on purpose or by accident, but nonetheless, people were taking one pill and less than one pill, like, because I think it's 2 kilograms of fentanyl could kill a person. So it's like very small dose that could potentially kill somebody. And what the Mexican cartels have been doing is they're becoming now more sophisticated at both managing the potency, but also controlling the distribution and the transportation of this drug. And now this is probably, John, now become the number one national security problem that we're facing on the U.S. southern border. I mean, there's everything going on the border, from terrorists that are coming across to human trafficking, which is very tragic. But the fentanyl trafficking is what's of utmost concern because of the way that it's attacking the youth of the United States. As I mentioned before, it takes basically less than a drop of sugar that you can see to have the potency to kill somebody. And they are lacing it now with other drugs. That's why the cocaine thing is very important, because, you know, what we're talking about with Venezuela, the flooding the United States with cocaine. Well, the way that they're actually building this drug consumer networks inside the United States is by lacing fentanyl with cocaine. And they started with heroin. Now they're moving to cocaine. There's even some reports that I've seen recently that they're starting to use it also with marijuana. Now that's going to create not just a huge, what's already become a huge drug problem inside the country, but it's deadly. It's deadly. It basically eliminates the gateway drug. You know, people used to say marijuana was a gateway drug. Well, it's not a gateway if you take it the first time ever and you die from it. That's not an overdose. That's essentially you were poisoned, you were killed, because you're now consuming something that's more deadly than what you thought it was in the past. The marijuana, the cocaine that we heard about in the 90s and the 80s when Pablo Escobar time, this is not the same drug situation today. Today, with the added element of fentanyl, it's much more deadly. And I think the youth of the United States needs to know about this.
Ernesto, in your travels as foreign minister, were there other states worried about fentanyl and deaths, Brazil, Argentina, or was that early days?
So early days, John, not much at that time. And unfortunately, the pandemic was big part of the problem, because it drove attention away from issues of security and drug trafficking and everything. One of the moments that most impressed me during my term was when I took part in a summit of the South American presidents, the PROSUL mechanism that we created and now Lula has extinguished. When President Lenin Moreno, then president of Ecuador, said, guys, we should be worried about corruption. The corruption pandemic is the worst thing in our region, and that's what we should fight with the same attention as the COVID pandemic. And that corruption pandemic, I think it includes fentanyl, it includes human trafficking, includes, of course, drug trafficking. But South American leaders still have to realize that.
And Joseph, the story that China has the precursors and refuses to stop it, claiming it's their gang activity, is that credible, or is this the state of China participating in undermining the Americas, similar to how Caracas is said to have participated in undermining the U.S. What do you make of this report of China doing this on purpose?
No, I think it's credible, the allegation that China can be doing this on purpose, for two reasons. One, it falls within the mandate of unrestricted warfare, this idea that China is willing to use anything at its disposal of national power to be able to attack its adversaries. And that would include drugs that we talked about in the context of Venezuela. Well, Venezuela know about this form of asymmetric warfare because they learned it from bigger powers like the Chinese. But the second reason, John, is because on a tactical level, there is no way that these Chinese gangs, these mafias, are able to use the banking system inside China for these financial brokers that bring the chemical labs into Mexico. There's no way they can use the banking system of China without the Communist Party of China knowing about it. So at best, the Communist Party of China is turning a blind eye to this illicit activity, but most likely they're probably complicit and they're using the mafia as a cutout. Basically, they're using the mafia as a way to have plausible deniability to this form of asymmetric attack. So I think there's a lot of credibility to looking at the Chinese government involved in the fentanyl trafficking. But the key would be to look at the banking network, because they're the ones that are in charge of the financial brokers. That if you go to Mexico, John, all they talk about is how these brokers, these Chinese brokers, are coming constantly to Mexico and facilitating the deals with the cartels.
Joseph Omar is the executive director of Secure Free Society. I recommend the website because it has an enormous amount of information about narco-terrorism as a threat to the security of the Americas. Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil. This is CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,